All right. Appreciate that song. That's a blessing, amen. Can't wait till I one day fly out of here. That'll be a wonderful time. You take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter number 3. Thank you, sir. Revelation chapter 3. Appreciate these young people singing. Amen. And we need to encourage your young people to sing. Encourage your children to sing. Play instruments, sing. Whatever you can do for the Lord, amen, we need to do it. Serve Him while we've got time. Revelation chapter 3. Now I'll read just a couple of verses of Scripture. We'll try to get started this morning. Verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now this message this morning, I have no idea who it's for. But God woke me up in the middle of the night and gave me this message. I'm not kidding. And I wrote it down. Well, He gave me what I could in the midst of my sleepiness. And I wrote down the points that the Lord gave me and tried to work that up this past week. So I don't have any doubt this is what I'm supposed to preach this morning. And sometimes preachers might question it, but I have no doubt in my mind this is what I'm supposed to preach this morning. And I trust that this message will help our hearts in some way. So I want to preach on this thought this morning, growing cold. Growing cold. So you bow your heads with me and we'll pray. Father, we ask You to help us now this morning. We need Your grace, Lord. We pray, Father, that You would touch our hearts. May the Spirit of God deal with us, Lord, as we have need. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You would help us in some way. Open up our eyes, Lord. God, that we would see ourselves for who we are. Father, I pray, we don't want another assembly or people that meet together for some type of social club. Father, I pray, You help us now to be spiritual people. Father, these that are here, I pray, You help them, Father. Help me to draw near to You with a true heart, Lord, a sincere heart. Father, I pray that You would help us now this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd touch me one more time and empower me, Lord, before Your soon coming. We'll praise You for what You'll do in Your Word. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Now, if you'll notice here in verse number 15, He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now, this is one of the last of the churches that He writes to, in the book of Revelations, in the last covering the past couple of chapters. And He deals with a very carnal church. He deals with a church that has gone away from God. Their hearts are beginning to draw away from the Lord. And what's so bad is that they're in this place and they don't even realize what is going on in their hearts. But He mentions these two specifics, cold or hot, I would that thou wert cold or hot. Now the cold denotes the iciness of the heart, the lack of love toward God, toward anything spiritual, the things of the Lord. The word warmth or the word hot here denotes as far as how we are toward God. The heat of our heart, our passion, our desire toward the Lord, toward the things that are godly, toward anything that should be spiritual in our life. You'll find in the Scripture the words denoting as far as hot, maybe being fervor or fervent or ardent. These words describing the desire or the passion of the child of God toward the Lord when his heart is right, though understanding. That's when our hearts are hot toward God, when our fellowship is sweet, when the tears flow when we pray, when our hearts break because of sin. This is when we know that our hearts are warm toward the Lord, and our passion toward God is fervent in its nature. The lukewarm status we think of being a state of dishonesty, though. And I could see how that God would say, I would that you were hot. But why exactly would He say, I would that you were cold? Now the cold, although a heart would be cold, this would be an indifferent state in which the heart toward the Lord would at least be honest before God that I am this way and I do need some help. At least someone that knows or that's out in sin knows that they're not right with God. Isn't that right? I mean, at least someone that has gone away from God and they've left church altogether, and at least they do dodge Christians and say, I don't want any part, or I don't want to do this anymore. I just wish you'd stay away. That man that's in that state, in his heart that's in that state, is at least he's in a place where he can be honest with himself. If a man can be honest with himself, he can be honest with God. But when a man cannot be honest in his heart toward himself, as to who he is and what he is spiritually, there is no way that before the Lord in a place of prayer, that man is going to be honest before God. You mark it down, boys. If you get to that place, you cannot be honest before the Lord. That lukewarm state is a place of indifference, but it's a place of dishonesty when a man is not honest before the Lord. The command here is seen in verse number 18. The command toward the lukewarm heart is seen. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. When we think about this command, first of all, is to seek pure religion. The word gold is emblematic of religion in the Scriptures. And when he says, buy of me, he's saying, obtain, get this from me, because you need it. Because of why? Because of the ignorance of a warm-hearted man. In verse number 17, he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The man that is in a dishonest state with his heart toward himself and toward God, that man is saying within his own self, I'm okay. And in his dishonesty, he's deceiving himself and lying to the Holy Ghost at the same time. I'm fine. When the preacher preaches on sin or preaches on a particular situation and the man says he's not talking to me, when the preacher talks about long-tongued women, that woman says that preacher's not concerned. He's not talking about me, surely. I'm not that one. When he talks about that man that gets off in sin and that dad says, no, that can't be me, and he thinks about all the other men or all the other people in the church, that surely this preacher's got to be preaching to. He can't be talking to me. In his dishonesty, he's lying to himself. And he's ignorant about how his heart truly is toward the Lord. And might I say this morning that if we get into this place, you'll find yourself lying to yourself, to your family, and to God. As we think about verse number 17, and he speaks about this ignorance, he says, you don't understand what state that you're in. He said, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He's in need of these things. He cannot see. He's in a blind state. She's in a blind state. She's not understanding. She goes to church. She sings the song. She goes through the hymn. She says hello. He says hello, and he shakes another man's hand, and he smiles, and he says, God bless you. But deep in his heart, he's not right with God, and he just can't see it because he's spiritually blind. God said, I'd rather you be in a cold state. I would rather you be away from God than be in a place where you cannot be honest with me. This is all that God really needs from you, is your honesty. When you enter into a place of prayer, and Ethan, you can come before the Lord and say, God, I have done this, and I need help. You're in a place to where you can get some help. You're at a place to where you can actually feel the presence of God and the Lord touching your heart in a place of prayer. When you're at a place to where you can say, I am this way and I need God to help me. But if, Seth, you're at a place where you can't really get before the Lord and be honest, where you get before God and you basically, like the Pharisees, say, Lord, I'm glad I'm not as this publican, a sinner. I'm glad I'm not as this brother. I'm glad I'm not as this sister. I'm glad that I've been raised in a Christian home. And there's nothing for thanking the Lord for that. Thanking the Lord for bringing you out and making you clean and making you pure, making you holy. Thankfulness is great in a place of prayer. But whenever you start thanking God that you are a certain way and that you are not another way, and something begins to click in your heart that, hey, maybe I'm wrong with God. Maybe somewhere along the way I have missed it, that there are some things in my life that's not right now. Maybe there's some things in my life that I'm missing somewhere along the way. I mean, thank the Lord that I get to go to church on Sunday morning. I get to go to church on Sunday night. I get to go to church on Wednesday night. I get to go here. I get to go on visitation. I get to sing here. I get to do a assisted living home service or a bus route or whatever it is, whatever ministry that God might have you in. Thank God for those things. But somewhere upon all of the great list that we were saying, thankfulness that I can do this and this and this and this, somewhere along the lines, we're missing what is separating us from that true fellowship with God that is so greatly desired from our Heavenly Father. Somewhere along the lines, we're missing some things in our life to set us in order to have fellowship with God in a personal way that the Lord so wants from you. As we think about this lukewarm state, the ignorance here, that man doesn't realize who he is. He doesn't realize his need for God. He doesn't realize that he's poor. He doesn't realize that he's blind. He doesn't realize that he's weak. He doesn't realize these things. And realization of these things and acknowledgement of these things is the first step in getting back to a place where you're ardent for the Lord and for the things of God. The command here is set, seek pure religion. He says, gold tried in the fire. Religion that has been purified. Religion is just simply a standard that we live by. It's a code, pretty much. I mean, everybody really has some type of religion. Even sinners have some type of religion. Religion will send you to hell a lot of times, amen. But as we think about this pure religion that he speaks of, he's talking about Bible doctrine. Taking the scriptures and saying, if this is what's wrong with my life, then let me correct what's wrong with my life. Let me take the Bible and let me say, if this is what's wrong, then I need to take these scriptures and believe God, believe His promises, and get right with God. Hey, taking what that preacher says from that Bible, letting the Spirit of God speak to our hearts, or in Sunday school class, or when you're reading your Bible during the day, whatever it is, letting the Spirit of God deal with you, bring you back to that place to where your heart has your passion toward God. Hey, bringing us back to that place. God is longing for that time. But our lukewarm, our dishonesty is keeping us from that fellowship with the Lord that is so greatly desired. Pure religion leads to a decrease of hypocrisy. When a man says, I'm this, and he's not really that. Hey, you know, there's a lot of people that walk into the house of God. They'll smile and shake a hand and be wrong with the Lord. They'll smile and shake a hand and know in their heart that they're playing the hypocrite. Know in their heart that the things that they have been doing is keeping them from fellowship with God. How in the world can we have fellowship with God's people if we can't have fellowship with God? Ever thought about that? I mean, with that in their heart, they'll shake another man's hand. Hey, but hey, that pure religion. Hey, when we get back to the Bible and take God at His Word and get back in fellowship with the Lord, and we start having a few tears in our prayer time, and we start feeling God move in our hearts during those devotion times with the Lord, hey, that's the times whenever we'll stop playing the hypocrite. We can come into church with a clean heart, a pure mind, and shake hands with another man and say, hadn't God really been good to us in our lives? Isn't God's grace wonderful? And mean it in your heart, wouldn't that be a great time? But some of us, I believe, and a lot of people who enter into the church today, in a good independent Baptist churches, find it hard, no doubt, to shake somebody's hand with a pure heart. Pure religion leads to a decrease of hypocrisy, an increase in humility. Hey, they become humble in the place before God. Whenever they enter into their prayer closets, they don't mind seeing themselves for who they are and saying, Lord, I am weak, and I do need the strength of God, and I do need to trust You. And they stay until they feel God do something in their heart. A lack of humility brings a lack of time. You don't want to stay in your prayer time. You just want to pray through your little meals. You want to say your little prayers. Some of them even want to just sing them, amen. Some of them little sing-song prayers. I don't get some of that stuff. Ritual. They go through the motions. They go through the motions in the thing of religion. An increase in humility and then a love for humanity. Hey, pure religion brings a love for people. Hey, maybe, just maybe, we're entering into this lukewarm state whenever we realize when I'm out and about, I don't have a desire to hand anybody a tract anymore. I don't have a desire to talk to my coworkers about Christ. Maybe, just maybe, you've already entered into this lukewarm state. Drop my mic. Maybe, just maybe, you're already there because the love for your family's gone. You say, I love my brother, I love my sister, I love my mother, I love my father. But you know, even in a state of lukewarm state, people fail to give their own family the gospel because it's just not in them. It's just not there to do it anymore. It's just not what's important on their heart. A love for humanity is seen in pure religion. But how do I know, and this is where I wanted to get to this morning, how do I know that I'm entering into this lukewarm state? You see, the lukewarm state is between hot and cold. So, Brother James, I can say by reason that the man that's left that hot, fervent state for the Lord, his fervency, his passion for God, and he's getting to that place of being cold. He's growing cold in that lukewarm state at some place in time. And, you know, God would want to rescue that man from going all the way and getting out of church and getting out of the will of God. I don't think that's the will of the Lord at all. Do you think that God would want a man or a boy or a girl to get outside of the church and begin to live in sin and begin to do things that wasn't pleasing to God? I don't think that God would want that, do you? I don't think that He would. I don't think that's the will of God. But what I do know is that when a man begins to leave that passion for the Lord, he's going to get to that place because it's indefinite. He's going to be there. At some point in time, as he grows cold, he'll get to that place to where it just don't mean anything to him anymore. I believe I've probably met even some people that didn't leave the church as far as a local assembly. I believe I've probably even met some of them sitting on the church pew that has shaken my head at times, that have left that lukewarm state and they've grown cold upon the Lord, the way that the altars don't draw them anymore, and the Spirit of the Lord don't move on their heart anymore when the preacher begins to preach, and sin is seen, and they just don't care anymore because they're just doing things by duty now. They're doing things because they don't want to think their wife or their husband or their brothers or sisters or mothers mothers or fathers or whoever don't want them to, they don't want to let them believe that they are getting out of church. They've already grown into that cold state. Their hearts are already icy toward the things of God. And maybe, just maybe, there are some of you sitting under the sound of my voice this morning to where your hearts have entered into this icy state, and things just don't move you like they should. We know how to say amen. We know how to say thank the Lord. We know how to the terminology, but we don't know as far as how to get back to where we used to be with God. It's just not a desire there anymore. Maybe, just maybe, we have entered into that cold state. But if not, we're getting there. How do I know I'm getting there, Pastor Shoemaker? How do I know that I'm getting to this place to where my heart is icy toward the things of God? First of all, this: your prayers will seem distant when you're growing colder. Your prayers will seem distant. Distant from sorrow. Being sorrowful is a natural state for a Christian in God's presence. Being sorrowful for your sin. Being sorrowful for the things that you've done. Being sorrowful because you know that God is great and you are nothing. Coming before the presence of the Lord with a sorrowful heart is natural for a true born-again Christian. And I would say, you know that you're growing cold when that becomes distant to you. When you get in your prayer time and you just don't feel that burden on your heart like you used to. When you don't feel that drawing of the Spirit of God when you pray like you used to. When you don't feel guilty and you can just come and say, I pray for my brother, I pray for my sister, I pray for this situation, I pray you'd help us pay our bills, I pray for this, I pray for that. With no real desire toward God, no real fervency in your prayer at all, number one, but no real fervency toward the Lord as far as your passion toward asking God, a God that truly can answer prayer. When you're distant from the Lord in your prayer time, you know you're growing cold. Distance not only from being sorrowful, but distance from sincerity. A sincere heart is natural for a desirous Christian. Hey, for a Christian that would get in prayer and begin to seek God out, hey, a sincere heart is something that just comes natural. And you know what I mean by a sincere heart. I mean, people have had, you've had probably dealings with people in your life, anybody in here that's been around long enough. But Chad, we say, you know, I'm sorry. There's been times I've said, I'm sorry, and not really be sincere about it. I just say it just because I know they want to hear it, or I don't want to have a fuss, or, you know, I'm sorry. I've never done you that way, though. Don't worry. I'm sorry. But, you know, there have been times, Steve, whenever I've said I'm sorry, like to my wife, you know, baby, I'm sorry. I'm truly, truly sorry. And you know what? There's a brokenness, Miss Kelly, and tears and a desire to really make that connection back again. Because I really am sorry. And there have been times that I wasn't really sorry. Yeah. Whoa, don't be saying amen too early there. Well, you know, when I'm really not that sorry. And I just want to say it just to make somebody, you know, try to quit fussing or fighting a few. Mm-hmm. I really not as sorry as I wanted to be. And the sincerity is not there. And you know what? When people pray sometimes, I think Christians aren't really sincere about who they are with God. Not just the sorrowfulness, but just the sincerity, the basic sincerity, as I am weak and God is strong, and I need you, Lord, more than the next breath of air I breathe. Can you be sincere? Where's that sincerity that you used to have? When you would just bow before the Lord, start to sing a little song, a little hymn, maybe Amazing Grace, How Sweet Thy Sound, or There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. And before you'd pray, you'd just begin to weep and cry, and God would stir your heart, and you would begin to get before the presence of the Lord, and you knew you was there, and you were sincere about it. When you become distant from your sincerity with the Lord, You got to be growing colder. You say, I'm some of these other churches, Brother Schumann. I'm the church of Ephesus or Pergamos or Thyatira. I'm not Laodicea. Don't worry. I'm not at that stage in my life. That's not me. Is it? Where's your sincerity been in your prayer time? Not only are we distant from sorrow, when our prayers seem distant from sorrow, distant from sincerity, but distant from the Spirit of God. No tears, no love, no feeling from the Lord. When we get up from our knees, there is no power there that there used to be. Whenever we would get up from our knees and our hearts would feel clean and our minds would feel pure and we feel like we could just take on the world because God has filled us with the Spirit of God. When you're distant from that Spirit-filled life and you get up from your knees and there's just not that feeling like there usually is, maybe, just maybe, you're already growing colder. And I want to preach this to try to bash anybody over the head. I just want to get you to see some things in your life and maybe do a 360 and say, Lord, I need to turn back toward that fervent prayer life and that presence of the Lord with you that I had before. I need to turn back because I'm going the wrong way. When I can't feel you moving in my soul anymore, I'm going the wrong way. Not only when your prayers seem distant, you're growing colder, but think about this, when your place of worship seems dull, probably growing colder. I think about Malachi over there, Malachi 1, toward the end there, between that 400 years of silence of Malachi and Matthew, hey, when the people was bringing those sacrifices to the Lord, this is what he said in verse number 11, for from the rising of the sun, even in the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even its meat is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand? Saith the Lord. He said, you brought it, and you sighed at it. You know what that sigh means? It means that they would come and just go, another time to bring the sacrifice. I guess it's time again. And they would be going through, and dad and the son would say to the dad, Dad, here's the best of the little lamb that we've got. He's a male. He's without blemish, without spot. He's without... And the dad says, son, that's worth a lot of money. Just get that one over there. And the son says, but dad, he says, no. Just do what I say, son. It'll be okay. Just get that one over there. He just got a little tear on his ankle. He just got a little tear. He just got a little cut. He's disfigured. Hey, you never know what they were bringing. But what they were bringing before the Lord was not what they were supposed to bring. And they were bringing these sacrifices out of duty, and they were bringing the worst that they had. And as we see today, and applying this to who we are, as far as our churches today, we are not bringing the best to the Lord. Our church time has become a dull time for families and children and moms and dads. It's just another time. And when it comes to that time, and the little kid says, you know what, Mom? You know what, Dad? I just feel a little sick. And they say, well, I guess it's just time to stay home. We don't need to go to church today. Or we say, well, you know what? We don't have to go to church every time because we'll always have Sunday. Well, you never know what on a Wednesday night you'll miss. You never know what on a Sunday night you'll miss. Hey, be there every time the doors are open, because that is a time when you can come and rejoice in the presence of God and get before the Lord and learn before the Lord and just come up to the table and feed a while. But you know what? When church becomes dull, you know maybe you're just growing a little colder on the Lord. Whenever we start singing those old hymns and people say, well, I don't like those old hymns. Well, I still like them. Amen. I said it here just this past Wednesday night. And I'll say it again. The Lord dealt with me the past couple of weeks. And sometimes I get to the place where I feel like I'm just coming in and singing the songs and going through the motions. Anybody ever felt like that? I said, Lord, from now on, I'm going to start closing my eyes and just singing and listening to the words as I sing. I'm just going to start just looking. If I don't know them, I'm going to look at that page and I'm going to think about what I'm singing. When these old hymns become dull to us, when the hymns about the cross and about the blood and about all that God has done, hey, when the hymns about salvation, hey, becomes dull to us, there's something wrong. Our hearts are growing colder and not warmer toward the Lord. There's no fervency there anymore. There's no passion there anymore. We sing to Him just to get over with the song service. We sing because we don't want anybody to see us not moving our lips. And sometimes I've even seen people just move their lips and not really sing. Not because they don't want to be heard either, just because they just don't have a desire to do it. When you feel like it's a chore and you don't want to go to church, maybe you're just growing a little colder. When it becomes dull to come to the house of God and fellowship with your fellow believers, maybe, just maybe, your heart's growing colder and not warmer. I love coming to the house of God. I'll just be honest with you. I can't wait until I can see you people again. And sometimes, you know, I even come and I think, why? But you know what? I still want to. Because it's just something about shaking hands with another man or woman that is saved and loves God in her heart and wants to be at church. And I love fellowshipping with people like that. Hey, in order to just stir your heart to know that you can come to church freely. You live in a country where you can come to the church and the house of God, the house of God be open and the doors unlocked and nobody coming in taking us out, letting us worship freely. You ought to thank God that you live in a free country where you can do those things. And it ought not be dull to you. It ought to be exciting to come to the house of God. What's God got for me today? What's God going to do today? I can't wait to see. And sometimes I stand at the window and the door and I wait on people that I've visited and I wait on people that said they were coming to church. And you know, sometimes it is discouraging. But you know what? The next Sunday I'm standing at the same window watching and waiting again. Why? Because I just love it, amen. Something about coming to the house of God. It shouldn't be dull. It should be exciting. What's God going to do this Sunday? Who's He going to bring in this Sunday? Who might join this Sunday? What's God going to do this Sunday? Hey, the house of God here, though small our congregation is right now, it's going to grow and continue steadily to grow, and it's going to be exciting to see what God has got for us. Do you want to miss a service and miss what God would have and what you could see on the next service? I wouldn't want to. I'd want to be there in the house of God. Why? Because it shouldn't be dull to me. It should be exciting to me. For the man that's warm and hot, fervent for the Lord, it is exciting to him. But for the one that's growing colder, what, Brother Joe, it's not very exciting. There's not any excitement there. When they pray, it's not like, boy, I'm really looking forward to what God's going to do on visitation. I'm really looking forward to what God's going to do in my Sunday school class. I'm really looking forward to this or that. As far as the ministry goes, what God's got for me. Maybe you're just growing colder on God. Not only when your place of worship seems dull, but when your personal devotion becomes distracted, maybe you're growing colder, not hotter. One of the hardest things it seems like Christians can do is to go to their Bible and find a little bit of time to spend with the Lord. I mean, really spend with God. That's one of the most hardest things I believe that a man can do. when he's saved. But you know what, Brother James? When a man becomes and he's able, that the world can distract him every day from that. The things that he's got going on in life. I know people get busy. I get busy. Everybody gets busy. The things we've got going on in life, or the things that the world's got to offer, the ball games, or this or that, or whatever it may be, if that's distracting you from your devotion times and your times to spend with the Lord, maybe, just maybe, our hearts are growing colder and not hotter. That seems like a telltale sign to me, don't it? I mean, how many of us can say, you know what, whenever I don't spend any time with my wife, that my marriage is getting better? Any man ever say anything like that? I don't think you've ever said anything. Any women say, you know what, me and my husband, we just hadn't been spending any time together. Our love's just getting better and better and better. He hadn't told me he loved me in 1 month. And boy, it's just good. I don't think any wives are saying that. I don't think any husbands are saying those things. But you know what they are saying? You know, we're talking more, spending more time together. We tell each other we love each other. Our marriage is getting better. It's just getting better every year. It gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. You know why? Because they don't mind communicating, spending time. You know, when a marriage grows cold, it's usually when the man gets tired of talking to the woman. Amen. Mm-hmm. When the woman gets tired of talking to the man, and they start going their separate ways, and they don't desire one another's company anymore. And you know, that's exactly how it is for a Christian. He becomes cold on the Lord. His heart becomes icy. He draws away from that hot state into that lukewarm state. And as he sits there, I know some people, Brother Joe, I think have been sitting in a lukewarm state for many, many years. Either that or they're not saved. Yeah. And they just sit there. And they don't have a heart toward God. There's no want of communication there. They don't desire time with the Lord. Something's either wrong there. Either somebody needs to get saved, or someone sitting in a lukewarm state. And they need to come back to the heat. They need to get the Spirit of God moving in their hearts and get a passion for God again. A passion for the ministry. A passion for humanity. Humility. Amen. Drawing close to God. Close to the ministry. Close to the things that are spiritual again. Maybe we're just growing colder. I tell you what, that's a fear of a pastor. I believe that's a fear of all pastors. Lord, please don't let this little church grow cold. Please don't let my people grow colder on you. Don't let their hearts become icy to where they don't have a desire for you like they should. You can fill a building up with people, but wouldn't it be better to fill them up with people that have a desire toward God? I would rather have just a small little group that really loves God than a great big group that don't have any desire, real desire toward the Lord. You can do more with people like that, that have a desire, even a small group that have a desire. You wouldn't believe what God could do with this little assembly if we give Him ourselves, our all. Amen? Amen. I wonder, has our hearts grown cold? We in that indifferent state. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Court, may you come. Play a little verse of invitation. Maybe say, Brother Shoemaker, I sure need some prayer this morning. I need God to do something in my heart. That passion's just not there like it used to be. And I need a fresh anointing, a fresh touch from the Lord. Anybody raise your hand, Brother Shoemaker? That's me. Anybody, I see some hands. Anybody else in here? Brother Shoemaker, just pray for me. There's another. Anybody else? Another? Anybody else? Brother Shoemaker, just pray for me. There's another. Anybody else? All you're doing is being honest with the Lord. Brother Shoemaker, I may be at that place where I feel like I'm growing colder on God. And you know what? Maybe you couldn't raise your hand just because you are in a lukewarm state. Now, I don't know your hearts, and you don't know my heart. But that place is a place of dishonesty. And the only thing I could do whenever I got ready to preach this message this morning was to pray that the Spirit of God would deal with some hearts and let them see themselves for who they really were. Father, we pray, Lord, this morning, that You would touch our hearts. Lord, during this invitation time, I pray that our hearts would do business with You. Lord, whatever You have for us, Lord, I pray. For these that's raised their hands, I pray they'd find a place, an old-fashioned altar. Lord, my heart, Father, I pray, don't let me get cold on You, Lord. Don't let me get in that lukewarm state, Father, I pray. Help me to keep that passion in my heart, Lord. Oh, God, please. I know, Father, it can happen. Father, I ask You to touch my heart, too. Lord, I thank You for what You'll do in these hearts this morning. We'll thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. As you please, maybe you'd like to come and pray. This would be your opportunity. Come an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, help me. Help me. How about some of you raise your hands? Lord, help me. Maybe you want to pray where you're at. Father, help me. Help me. Oh, how we need the Lord working in our hearts again.